It is your host, Justin WG, and we're going to be putting a podcast, we're doing a podcast on Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. My co-host today is...
Eric Flores.
And now we're going to start off at the beginning of the story. So we see the droid C-3PO and R2-D2 arrive at the Jabba's palace. We get to see the more of the land structure and palace structure of the little eye thing. It's really unique, and we see that actually be used as a way to communicate with outside people and with the clone troopers on that one planet where Heavy died. And then we also get to see it. We get to see more of, they come with a message to Luke. From Luke, Jabba doesn't believe that he's a Jedi Knight, so because of his ambassador said it was, and they really don't believe he is. But we know that Leia dressed up and went in to try to free them. I believe they agreed on a total around 35,000 for Chewbacca as a bounty because she brought Chewbacca trying to sell him to like get in with Jabba. Jabba likes her bravery because I believe she had a time bomb and she was like, if you don't agree, then basically everyone's dying. Of course, Boba Fett didn't like that and stuff like that. But we basically see Leia try to get Han, but you know, stuff like that normally doesn't even happen. And Han does get a carbonite, but Jabba lets that, and is apparently with hibernation sickness. We get to see a type of sickness that is sci-fi related. It is pretty interesting. Do you want to talk more about that?
I mean, there's not really much to talk about it with the sickness. You know, he comes out of the carbonite. There's some weird side effects that he's like temporarily blind, and he's just kind of like lost kind of motor function. It's like he really needs Mother's people help to be able to, you know, to be able to like get out of Jabba's palace. And then it's kind of weird because like when Luke starts coming in and he actually straight up threatens Jabba, saying that like he has no problem killing him and all that stuff, which is kind of weird because that strays away from like the Jedi code, which is like supposedly Luke is supposed to be like bringing back. And, you know, Jedi's are supposed to be peacekeepers and all that stuff. But like you can kind of see him like show a little bit of the dark side in him by like straight up threatening him and like saying that he's has no problem killing him.
Yeah, we see with Return of the movie is called Return of the Jedi, but we also see how he chokes one of the Huttie's guards, and that's not really the Jedi way. But he also did try to force persuade Jabba into looking the other way or he would be dead. But then Jabba was like, those force mind tricks don't work on me. And we also see the limit of the force, as we see it, because it doesn't work on him, as he usually tending to exert influence. However, ones with high developmental aptitude are resistant to this skill. Seven other species are like this in the Star Wars universe. More commonly known as example that we actually know and relevant to the story are Geonosians. We also see that in Attack of the Clones, that the Geonosians are very, they're not really...
They're not really susceptible to force powers, like mind preservation and all that stuff.
But it's really interesting that we get to see more of Star Wars species of characters. I feel like that's also, the character design is also a main point that I really like. It's about the WK pirates. I thought I saw them on the palace ship when they got to the palace. They're from an enslaved hut planet that is led by, they're kind of like space pirates, as you will, that are led by Hondo and Naka. I just find space pirates in the Star Wars universe is pretty funny. But other than that, we get to see the ship. Even though that Eric said it was unimportant, Han was able to shoot Boba's backpack, and then he fell into the pit. So
yeah, it's kind of, I feel like Boba, man, like, and he's like supposed to be this great bounty hunter that, like, you know, even Darth Vader hires to, like, you know, hunt down Luke and his friends and all that stuff, but then he gets taken out in such like the easiest way, just flies, gets shot, and just flies into a Snarlik pit.
No, but it's funny that the person who actually trained him from the, well, you see more of this on the Clone Wars series, Aurra Sing, she was in the previous, wait, she, no, she was in the first movie of the series. Yeah, we saw a little preview of her, and it was pretty funny that that the person that she trained, and we get to see more in the Clone Wars, more in depth, it just died like that. I mean, you could also talk about Jango, how Jango Fett died, and how that he wanted someone who was a clone. He just wanted someone who was replicated by the clone, but who wasn't adapted to go into the clone army.
Yeah, because the clones were altered to kind of grow twice the rate of a normal person. And then Django, the first clone, he was like, yeah, don't have any of that. Just have him be a clone version of me.
Yeah, he just treated him
like a son. Yeah, just one. The rest, I don't care.
But it's really funny that we see such a esteemed bounty hunter as well that is loyal to Jabba, which we also know how bounty hunter worked for Count Dooku and how Jango Fett died. He was I don't know if he screamed, but I don't know if it was cut out in the edits, but he has we shown a picture of Boba and he's so sad, and it's just sadder at this point.
Yeah, dude, these guys don't have really good luck with jetpacks, do they?
Yeah. No, but we see this. And we see the same thing happen when he's actually, I don't know, getting, head chopped off or getting eaten for, 500,000 years. I don't know which one's worse, because I believe the pit he fell into, the creature, digests on his body for, ever, so.
Damn, that's horrible. I mean, he eventually escapes it, yeah, but still kind of bad way to go from, the movie. Because some people only just watch the movie, so they think, oh, he's just dead.
And we see the conversation between Luke and Yoda. We see a great Jedi who is esteemed to be this great person other than Anakin. As you see in the first, the second trilogy, we see that Yoda dies. But before that, Luke pesters him. He's like, Yoda, is Darth Vader my father?
I mean, this is a... It's a pretty big bombshell to drop on someone, you know, basically one of the most evilest person in the universe basically says, yeah, I'm your father. So it's you can't really just kind of drop that on someone and expect them to be okay. You know, they'd have some questions. And, he asked Yoda because, he's supposed to be one of the smartest people. And apparently he knew his father before, all this darkness came into him. It's really interesting to see Luke coming full circle. Or completing his journey through this trilogy. He goes from a young, naive young Jedi in training to this full-blown Jedi Knight.
Yeah, with the training on the planet that Yoda was living, we really see a relationship between them grow as much as the Anakin didn't have. And considering they're both Skywalkers, we see Luke having a more mature adolescence, and we see him start to form as a character and as a Jedi. I feel like he's more serious and knows what to do. That's why when he talks to Leia when Luke gets to the Force Moon, he talks to Leia and he's like, I have to go. And he's like, I have to face my father. And that's a big responsibility that he has to do, and he has to make terms. Are we going to try to save him? Are we going to try to kill him? We already know that he wants to bring him, but we see that Darth Vader, Luke says to Darth Vader that my father's gone, and then because Darth Vader doesn't want to go back because he's already too far gone.
Because, Vader believes that Anakin and Vader are, completely two different people, even though they, physically are the same person. Mentally and spiritually, they're separated. Anakin's dead, basically, and then Darth Vader is what basically took over.
Yeah, and they asked the people in the Empire, they asked Darth Vader if they wanted to get rid of the breathing and the burns. No, it was the burns from the body, and he said, leave it there. It was it fuels his hatred and his anger, man.
Because I'm assuming that he feels pain from those burns and all that stuff, and it helps him feel the anger to keep fighting and just to keep going on for the Empire.
Yeah, we see the reveal of Luke trying to carry Darth Vader after they beat Darth Sidious. We see them carry Darth Vader, and you get to see what's under, and he just looks no offense to he looks like an egg, a white egg. But yeah. His face is really from you see from Anakin and when he died to Anakin now. Or you said, Anakin died on the planet of the planet Moon.
Mustafar,
yeah, we see that, And we see him now, and it's just like, what happened to him?
Yeah, like, I mean, from the outside, with his mask on, he kind of shows, he has no expression. Basically, he's basically just a force to be reckoned with. You know, he strikes fear to, like, anybody who sees him. But then, like, you know, as soon as he takes off his mask, you can kind of see that he's, like, a damaged old man. That, you know, as he's laying there, he accepts his fate, and he knows that he's going to die.
Well, we know that he's also caused space people to, like, genocide.
Yeah, he's basically caused the space genocide. I'm not going to lie, like...
But then you also see how Palpatine was like, he'll be the greatest Jedi. And I like to say, he's like, he in the like the begin like the second trilogy, we see that he wants to be the most powerful Jedi. Really stubborn, but he says, I should have been more powerful. I should have been able to save my mother and other things like that. But we see a type of that Anakin is now just like working for the Empire and causing space genocide. And we also see him as a space ghost at the end of the movie, but with the new edited version that they put on Disney Plus, they put his young version instead of like the old version that Obi-Wan has.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, you can kind of almost say that like Anakin's been selfish throughout his whole life. Like, Padme, he force chokes her when he thinks he's been betrayed. He attacks Obi-Wan for taking Padme away from him. So it's like almost everything's about him. And even when he saves Luke because it's his son. He doesn't.
Wait, he saves Luke? Luke saves him.
No, when he's getting force lightning by Palpatine, he saves him. But like it's more out of like a selfish thing of, oh, that's my son. I got to protect him. Doesn't save him just because he feels bad for him, like it's his son.
You can also see that as part of like there's something still there. He feels regret because that's his son, and he feels like he doesn't want him to die. Like we see some points that like Luke, with the mechanical becoming like him, like he doesn't want him to become and have the same fate that he had, that he can't go back from. That's why when he said take off my helmet when they tried to escape from the shuttle. He's like, I'm already too far gone. There's like really no place for me to go into the Republic or the Empire or anywhere. He's just done. That's the end of the path.
I mean, yeah, like you can say there's almost something there, but like where was that one spark of hope when like, you know, he was cutting down all the rebellion like troopers and all that stuff. And, you know, he did some pretty bad stuff. You know, even if he directly didn't do it, his actions caused, you know, millions of people to die. So you can't really say, oh, he's a good guy at heart.
I'm saying that he can't go to the good guy side or the evil side because of what he's done. But, like, Luke still sees that in him, but until, like, he rejects it. But we see still, like you said, that he's, like, Darth Vader saves Luke. So you could also, like, say... from a standpoint that if he still was working for the Empire and he believed in the Empire, even though that it was also his son, that he felt a sort of, the reason to save him, basically. So, like, I don't know if that's, like, a good or a bad thing or just, like, an evil. But we do see, though, on the Cloud City that he tried, like, come join the galaxy with me, father and son.
Yeah, they're going to rule the galaxy forever and all that stuff. I don't know. I just think that, like, if Luke weren't his son and then it was just, like, some really strong Jedi, I don't feel like he would have saved him. I feel like it was just the fact that Luke happens to be related to him. That's the only reason why he saved him.
And that's really where the movie ends, with the Ewoks helping the rebels win the Forest Moon and they blow up the satellite relay for the defense system on the Death Star.
Yeah, and then just go in and they throw Palpatine down into the reactor. I feel like we saw Palpatine, but I feel like later on when we do the other podcast for the prequels, I feel like we're going to get more to see of his character development, because throughout these movies, he was more like just a figure that kind of just rules Darth Vader. There's not really much character flesh to him.
Yeah, we only see like a lot of them in this movie in particular. We just see like some instances of him in the beginning, but because mostly centered around Luke. We also see how Darth Vader came back, and he was like the Emperor Darth Sidious is not as forgiving as I am, so you better get the Death Star done. It was like in the beginning of the movie around there.
Yeah, when he just shows up and it's just like. He shows up on the Death Star and he's like, I want everything fully functional. And like, that's like the first instance we see of him you can kind of just see right off the bat he's like the main dude there. As like, you know, you can see all the stormtroopers like lined up and everything, like all kind of like parade style, just waiting his arrival.
And I feel like the Emperor is more of a political advantage. We all see him in the beginning.
What do you mean? Are you talking about like more of a political figure?
Than... Yeah, like I don't really feel like he's like. I mean, he does go to battle. We see him go to battle and stuff. But I feel like he's more of like behind the scenes. But he's a kind of not the same time. But
he's just like, he's pulling strings constantly. I'm assuming that guy's always scheming. There's like no day he takes off. It's just like, all right, today I'm just going to chill. No, dude.
Imagine his calendar.
Bro, like we're going to see later on how much like he's actually doing behind the scenes. But like, yeah, what you said, I think he's more like of a political head to where he, Darth Vader's kind of doing like trying to get rid of the rebellion while like Dark Sidious is doing more of the political stuff where she's like installing colonies, sending off troopers to go. Oh, like quench other like small rebellions that are coming out here and there, establishing new planets under the Empire rule and all that stuff.
So it's with the bigger movies, that's basically our ending segment of bigger things to come.
We'll hopefully be seeing more of all these characters. You know, probably not Luke because he'll probably not be born then.
Yeah, more of Anakin.
Yeah, we'll be seeing more of Anakin, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan, we kind of saw, you know, at the beginning of The New Hope, we saw a little bit of him, but it's just there's a lot more character there to be fleshed out.
Well, we just know him as a mentor that helped Luke, but we know that we're going to see some more character development to where he is now. But you can kind of see where Obi-Wan went with the Force and where Anakin went with the Force. Even though it was like told that Anakin had fear and he wasn't ready, even though he was like the chosen with the most Force aptitude than Yoda does. I believe it was around 2000, but we'll see Anakin rise to glory in the prequel trilogy.
And eventually fall.
And that is it. It is your host, Justin WG, and the co-host today,
Eric Flores.
And that is the end of Return of the Jedi.